meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Friday, February 23rd. I am opening a work session on three things: a bill, a grant request, and a consent report item. The first is House Bill 4005A, relating to the price of prescription drugs. Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 4005 establishes the prescription drug price. Prescription Drug Price Transparency Act, requiring manufacturers of prescription drugs sold in Oregon to report specified information to the Department of Consumer and Business Services. The bill also requires insurers to include specified information regarding reimbursement of certain drugs, along with certain filing of health insurance, current filing of health insurance rates. In addition, the bill creates the Task Force on the Fair Pricing of Prescription Drugs, charged with developing a strategy to create transparency for drug prices across the supply chain, including pharmacy benefit managers, distributors, as well as wholesale and retail pharmacies. DCBS projects the cost of complying with the provisions of this bill to be $425,022 other funds, three positions, 1.50 FTE for the 2017-19 biennium, and $577,120 other funds, three positions, three FTE for the 2019-21 biennium. Funding for this program will be derived from fees to be paid to DCBS by the manufacturers. Such fees will be set via rulemaking and are yet to be determined. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4005 be amended by the Dash A24 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't speak out many times, but this is the first time, one of the senior members of the body, that I've seen where we're proposing passing a bill and establishing a task force at the same time. I don't understand why the task force doesn't come first before we're implementing policy. Also, as one of the older members of the body, I'll be next year dependent upon, will not have PEB, and I'll be having to worry about, and I have received a lot of calls from constituents wanting to support this bill.
However, just a kid.
My background in the military was in research and development, and we all received a letter from OSHU about the cost and the research. I'm hoping at my age that we find cure to cancer, we find cure to Alzheimer's, and many other medications, and I'll be a no on this bill because I've toured some of the labs, Johnson & Johnson, and you have to really realize what it costs to produce a drug. I want them to produce more. OSHU produced a great cure for one kind of cancer, and I hope that we need to continue to do that. That's what people, they'll benefit more, and so I'll be a no on the bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other discussion? Yes, Representative McClain.
Madam Chair, just to make sure I'm clear, what amendment are you asking us to vote to move today?
May I help with that, Madam Chair? Thank you. Representative McClain, the Dash A24 is a combination of the A10, A13, A15, and A21s, all merged into one, as we often do in Ways and Means after we amend a bunch of stuff in committee. So the A24 includes three basically technical fixes, which are the 10s, 13s, and 15s, and then the substantive amendment is the 21s, which includes the delayed implementation of reporting for the first year and the task force. Does that answer your question, Representative?
May I follow up then? I have, so the 60-day requirement, was that?
That was taken out in policy committee originally in House Health.
Okay. All right. Then I guess the other question, I'm trying to get up to speed here. I apologize that our session doesn't always permit us time. I wasn't on the subcommittee nor the policy committee. But it appears we have, as Representative Wisnett mentioned, a task force increasing, starting, and the Senate President and the Speaker are appointing members, and the Governor. So Can I just be blunt? Are there any Republicans appointing anybody?
It's supposed to be a member from each caucus representative. So if you look at the layout, it's a traditional task force. So the Senate president appoints one from the majority party and one from the minority party in the Senate, and the speaker does the same. I would assume that, as is usually the case, certainly in the Senate, that I can't speak for the House because I've never served there, but the Senate president usually consults with the Republican caucus leader about which Republican would want to be on there. In this case, I can't speak for the House because I just know what's traditional in the Senate.
All right, well.
So it's not a specific, I mean, the vast majority of task forces are structured, I believe, this way for the presiding officers to appoint one from each party.
May I follow? Okay. I'll need to learn more, and I'll support this moving forward today. But there are still a lot of questions, and I think Representative Wisnett is correct that this is not a perfect bill. And there's a lot of legitimate arguments on the other side. And I'd like to emphasize that bipartisanship requires bipartisanship. And to be blunt, when one party appoints everyone on a task force, that's not bipartisanship. So if you want legitimate arguments from the minority party, if you want us to participate fully and produce what you want, you tell us you want is bipartisanship and all voices represented, then perhaps Republicans should appoint some members, not just simply a Democrat appoint a Republican member. And I know this goes on. And, you know, people don't like it when I say it. But let's be honest about the fact that the majority party has to allow the minority party to have some authority to bring who they want to the table in order to have all the views presented. Drug pricing should be a bipartisan issue. It is. We all care about it. We all have constituents about it. And some of the frustration that people have shared with me is that this bill is here today with bipartisan sponsors. But again, the process did not allow every voice equal footing. And that produces frustration. And if we're going to alleviate a lot of frustration, we have to allow people with different views the opportunity to fully participate on an equal basis. However, House Bill 4005, I commend Representative Nose and the others who have worked very hard to try to get it into position, and so that's why I'll support it going to the floor today.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Additional discussion, Senator Hansel, and then.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was a no vote in the sub, and I'll be a no vote in the floor.
Mm-hmm. We'll pick that up when we ask for objections. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to be a no vote also. But the manufacturers need to fix this pricing structure. It's too short a session for me to fully understand. California is already in lawsuit. We can sit and see, but a clear message to the manufacturers, you have to fix your pricing structure. There's too many kickbacks, too many people taking markup. It's the most confusing thing I've ever studied.
Thank you. Senator Gerard.
Thank you. I don't think there's any question that there's some bad actors within the drug community, EpiPen being the prime example. This bill has two component parts. One's a task force, which would be something to look at the problem and analyze it, come up with a solution, and then there's the policy part. If I analyze the policy part, the cost benefit, what we get for what it costs, it just doesn't pencil out. I would support the task force, but I wouldn't support the policy bill, so I'm going to be a no.
Representative Noble.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. As one of the chief sponsors, I just want to speak. I believe firmly that the unpredictable prices in our pharmaceuticals are not a red or blue issue. It transcends everything. I am fully supportive of some transparency. We're fighting an opioid issue, and we put naloxone in the hands of first responders, and since then, the price has gone up 500%. That's just unacceptable. We need to figure out where in this chain this is happening. I don't put all this on pharmaceuticals companies because there's a lot more to how prices actually, what the consumer pays. But we need to start somewhere. And I understand the concerns about having a base policy bill and then a task force. I have some of those same concerns. And I understand the Representative McLean's concern about appointing members. The reality is we need to figure something out and do something for the people of the state of Oregon and have some consistency to where you go to one pharmacy and you pay out of pocket less money than you do just a copay at another pharmacy, and that doesn't make any sense. So I support this bill. I would urge your support as a beginning to maybe figuring out what's going on.
Thank you. Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate the thoughtful comments from all of my colleagues, and I hope I could just clarify a couple of quick points. Representative Wisnant, I understand your concern about having a bill and a task force simultaneously. Representative Nose has done remarkable work over the past several years putting together work groups to try to address this issue. And that's how we've gotten to this first part of the policy side of it. I've also done some work on the prescription benefit manager side. Representative Nose and I also had analogous bills in the 2017 session that got a lot of discussion in both chambers. You might not have seen them because they never really made it past the policy committees. They ended up dying in Ways and Means. So it's possible that you didn't have the opportunity to see those bills then. But this concept has received a lot of serious consideration over the past several years. It's also, this process is also analogous to what we did with the surprise billing or balance billing issue. In 2017, we passed a bill that set a deadline for that, and we set up a task force to work on it with the hope, as turned out to be realized, that we would come up with a solution that was tolerable to everybody involved. And in fact, we have. You guys have Senate Bill 1549 over on your side that includes provisions to address that issue. So it was a successful model for how we might address that. And it's one of the reasons that we've delayed the implementation of the first report from the manufacturers until July of next year, so that with any luck, this task force will come back with concrete recommendations in November that we can implement in the 2019 session to address all aspects of the supply chain here. Senator Girard, I appreciate your concern about bang for the buck, and as you know, I'm often skeptical, if you will, about that. I would argue that, you know, in medicine we say sunshine's the best disinfectant, and transparency helps a lot. These provisions in this bill in 4005 only apply if prices go up by more than 10% per year. So if manufacturers keep their price increases of less than 10%, then doesn't apply to them. And even then, I would remind people that given the good old-fashioned rule of sevens, at a 10% increase per year, that means it doubles in 7 years, even for drugs that have been on the market a long time. And that's certainly been my experience with some of the drugs that I have to take. So I appreciate everybody's concerns. I do not think we are barging into this blindly. I appreciate the concerns about the lawsuits in California, but I think this is a well-thought-out bill. I commend Representative Nose. I'm honored to work with him on this. And Representative McLean, I truly appreciate concerns about bipartisanship. I would point out that, as I said in the subcommittee, the language about the charge of the task force to Senator Linthicum's, it was way better than what I had originally come up with. It was a much more thoughtful charge for the task force, and I've been working very closely with him on this issue. He and I will be co-carrying this bill on the Senate floor. I appreciate your concerns about the appointing authority. Ledge Council did it that way, and I just sort of took it for granted, and I apologize, and I'll think about doing it in a slightly different way the next time I recommend a task force. I would hope that the presiding officers would closely with yourself and Senator Winters as they think about appointing them, because I think that's the right way things should be done, and I'm honored to work closely with Senator Linthicum on this issue.
Further discussion? Objections. Mr. Rocco, would you please do a roll call vote to make sure we get it recorded correctly?
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Drabb?
No.
Senator Thompson?
Nope.
Senator Steiner-Hewer?
Aye.
Senator Hansel?
No.
Senator Roblin?
Aye.
Senator Frederick?
Yes.
Senator Manning?
Aye.
Senator DeBoer?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Winters?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Johnson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Courtney?
Yes.
Representative Wisnett?
No.
Representative McLean?
Yes.
Representative Williamson?
Yes.
Representative Gomberg?
Aye.
Representative Smith-Warner?
Aye.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative Noble?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Co-Vice Chair Smith?
Aye.
Co-Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Motion passes. We're moving to the next item. Department of State Lands, National Estuarine Research Reserve System Grant, Senator Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. colleagues, on February 15th, the Natural Resources Subcommittee recommended retroactive approval of the submission of a federal grant application from the Department of State Lands to the Oregon, to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in the amount of $137,000 for construction and maintenance projects at the South Slough National Estuary Research Reserve. The funding will be used by the agency for the repair or replacement of gutters, the observation deck, heat pumps at the interpretive center, and installation of additional interpretive exhibits. The anticipated grant award date is July 1st, 2018. State matching funds of $41,100 will come from in-kind credits for existing budgeted expenses. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Passes. The next item is a little bit new way of doing things for this year. We're having a consent agenda for reports. Mr. Rocco, would you please assure us these are reports that went through subcommittee without any dissent?
Madam Chair, that is correct. These are reports that there were no objections expressed during the subcommittee hearing on the bill.
Thank you. However, there is an opportunity if any of you needs to pull one of these because you want it discussed individually because there's an objection or a concern. You can do that now. Just let me know right now. Okay. Yes.
Madam Co-Chair, would it be possible that, you know, instead of going back to the committees, that you could have one, give us one link we could go to, not for today, but for my vote on the floor, could you put all these on one link, like today, of all the material or the summary or of the reports that we could go to about going through to each committee that we're not on to look at these reports?
Madam Chair, Representative Wisnett, I believe we will identify the subcommittee and the date that it was heard in the subcommittee in the podium.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Yes, Representative McCullough.
With the approval of President Courtney, I'd like all these reports read.
Oh. Mr. Co-Chair, do you approve of
that? We have no ponies.
We have no ponies. That's
good. I'm going to read him something
more. Did you hear that, or do I need to say it out loud into the
microphone?
No,
that's fine. I'll do whatever President Courtney wants. That's fine. We don't have to read it.
Looks like we're ready to move on. Representative Rayfield.
Madam Chair, I move the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of the following reports on Blanc as recommended by the subcommittees. Number one, Chief Education Office report on the Education Advancement Council, Senate Bill 182, is heard by the Education Subcommittee on February 15th. Number two, Department of Fish and Wildlife report on the anti-poaching plan is heard by the Natural Resources Subcommittee on February 20th. Number three, the Housing and Community Service Department and Department of Veterans Affairs report on Measure 96 lottery funds for veterans housing is heard by the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee on February 15th. Number four, the Legislative Fiscal Office and Legislative Council report on investment statute review with instructions is heard by the General Government Subcommittee on February 21st. Number five, Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision report on static 99 assessments is heard by the Public Safety Subcommittee on February 12th. Number six, Public Defense Services Commission report on compensation plan changes is heard by the Public Safety Subcommittee on February 19th. Number seven, Public Employees Retirement System report on the 2017 preliminary earnings crediting with institutions is heard by the General Government Subcommittee on February 19th. Number eight, the Department of Transportation report on transportation package implementation is heard by the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee on February 20th. Number nine, the Department of Transportation report on the Ignition Interlock Device Oversight Program is heard by the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee on February 20th. And number 10, the Treasurer of State report on the Target Date Fund has heard by the General Government Subcommittee on February 21st.
Thank you. Discussion.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Just out of an abundance of caution, we had declared potential conflict of interest. One of the reports is from the Department of Transportation, and I do economic development throughout the state of Oregon, of which transportation is part of that.
Thank you. Any other discussion? And before we complete this item, Representative Wisnett, thank you very much for your suggestion. That will be helpful.
Yes, thank you.
Any other discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Mr. Rocco, is there any other business before us today?
No, Madam Chair, there is not.
I'm closing this work session, and we are adjourned.